Welcome, everyone, to Dog Talk Live with Rusty Mansell on Tuesday night, presented by Hotel Indigo. And I want to get everybody in. Again, thank you for being here. I want to touch real quick on Hotel Indigo, guys. That's our presenting sponsor. And no rooms for Ole Miss. They do have tickets available. There'll be a link up a little while later. They do have some tickets left for that Ole Miss game. But let me know where you're watching from. Let me know where you guys are checking in, Facebook, X, YouTube, wherever you're checking in from too as well. Appreciate you guys being here. But again, our presenting sponsors tonight, as always, on Dog Talk Live, my weekly show, is Hotel Indigo in Athens. I've said it a million times, guys. Go by there once. It's all you got to do. You can visit IndigoAthens.com, get your rooms. Parents Weekend, there was a huge Parents Weekend last weekend. But in the off season, most fraternity sororities, they do too. If you're visiting with your child, business, going to Athens for a basketball game, whatever. They got wedding stuff there, Hotel Indigo. I do want to give a special shout out tonight. And I don't do this normally, but I'm going to give a special shout out tonight to Tom, Rick, and Barry. You guys are tuning in tonight from the CCC Cigar Club. Wish I was there with y'all. And I know y'all are enjoying, know y'all watching tonight. So appreciate all your support, Tom, Rick, and Barry, for sure. Barry, thank you for making all this possible. And guys, Hotel Indigo, we'll talk about it at the end of the show. But I can tell you right now, place to be. I want to start tonight with a quick story and don't want to get too much into, you know, story time, because then we've got to talk about Kentucky. We're going to talk about Auburn, and I'm going to take your questions always. So thank you guys for checking in. Peach County there. Sorted Beverages, my man Randy McMichael. I do radio with Randy McMichael 92.9 in Atlanta, and he's awesome. By the way, Randy McMichael has the number one radio show in the city of Atlanta, sports radio. He's the number one show. So special shout out to my guy Randy McMichael, former Georgia Bulldog, great 10-year NFL vet. He's my guy, man. He's fun on radio. He's awesome. But he is definitely, as he says it, he is from Fort Valley. So let's go back. I want to go back to 2017. I want to tell a little story about that. Let's go Georgia at Auburn, 2017. Georgia was ranked number one in the country. And this is kind of where I am with this game this week a little bit. Georgia was ranked number one in America. They were rolling, just beat Florida. And I think that's right. They were going into this Auburn game. And for better term, and I guess I can use it, they went to Auburn and got their ass whipped. 40-17, Georgia scored first, drove right down the field. Remember big Solomon Kinley, big 66, just mauling a dude. And Georgia rolling in there, and I was like, yep, we're about to get in that, you know what, here. And for whatever reason, that day, Auburn was freaking rolling. Jordan Hare was nuts. That place was, I mean, it was as loud as I've ever heard anything anywhere. My story time part is that Georgia comes back, and they play Georgia Tech a week later, whatever, beat them 38-7, or a couple of weeks later, right before they play that SEC championship. And Georgia rolls in a rematch they had lost the year before to Georgia Tech. And I remember talking to some people around Georgia that week, and I was like, okay, y'all are banged up a little bit. Are you guys going to, you know, how's this week going to go? You know, this is a tough rematch with Auburn and all that. Let me tell you something. Kirby Smart dropped the hammer on that team. Like, they got after it Monday. They got after it on Monday. Bloody Tuesday is the typical, you know what, for Georgia. But they got after it on that Monday. And that set the tone for the rest of the week. I mean, they went after it, man. And, you know, for Kirby to say, you know, we're going to out-physical this team, and next time we play them, they're not going to do us that way again. And he set the tone that week. And I think that was really an early kind of turning point in Kirby's early years at Georgia. This is a team that got into him. I think Georgia scored late. It was never close. It was 40-17 over there, and they beat the brakes off of Georgia. And that place was unreal loud. But I think it really set the tone for Georgia. I really do. And, you know, for Kirby and how they practice, they go on that week and they beat Auburn 28-7 and in the Mercedes-Benz and win their SEC championship in their second year. And, you know, that really, to me, kind of set the tone a little bit for where the future for Georgia. You know, unfortunately, they didn't finish that year off, but kind of the physicality and way Kirby treats his team is, you know, we're going to out physically. We're going to play. You know, our kids are going to practice hard, and you're going to be ready starting, you know, early in the week. And they did that week. So, yeah, man, you look at Big Isaac Nauta, Nick Chubb, and all those guys. And you know, they were ranked number one. And were they number one team in America at that point? Probably not. But, you know, they got so much better as the year went on. And you know, Jake Fromm had taken control of that team. And you look at those guys there and what they did. But, man, they ran into a buzzsaw that day and just didn't get it. Yeah, you're right. That's when Gus said we'll beat the dog crap out of them. And he did. He did. I get it. You know, you got to understand there's mics. And then don't think that didn't get played a couple times down there as well going into that game. But, again, thank you guys. We'll get to all these questions coming up. Let us know where you're at and you know, where you guys are from. One thing, Anderson, South Carolina. Who was the quarterback from Anderson, South Carolina? Was it Preston back in the late 80s? Can't remember his name. You have to help me out there, Damien Cobb. Georgia had a quarterback in the late 80s. I can't remember his name. Preston, he could throw it. I'm sure you'll chime in and let me know. Let's talk about Kentucky, man. Georgia, 35-14, took control of this game early. I was sitting with my guy, Jake Rowe. Everybody talked about it all week. Georgia needed a fast start. There's just no – they had to have a clean start offensively. They had to have a clean start defensively. And right off the bat, man, two drives, two touchdowns. And I thought they came out really good offensively. Defensively, you got to stop, got to play. Preston Jones, T.L. Hanna High School. Thank you. I knew that was it. I went to T.L. Hanna one time to see radio. That was an awesome moment. Went and saw radio there at T.L. Hanna. He was shooting basketball with the kids in PE. I'll never forget that. I took a picture with him. So shout out radio. What a great movie. Rest in peace, my man. But, you know, you look at this game and what Gunner did. I loved it. Used his legs in the red zone. Mixed it up. Made some good throws early on. I thought he, you know, let's look at Gunner's. Talk about Gunner Stockton and the mixture of him. Kind of what you want to see out of him. He was 15-23 for 196. Had a touchdown, had a pick, kind of forced one in there. But he had 6 carries for 48 yards and 2 touchdowns. And, you know, Georgia had 428 yards total offense. Guys, Georgia was the better team in Kentucky. Georgia was a 3-touchdown favorite. They are 3-touchdown better than Kentucky, most likely more. I mean, Kentucky scored late right there. And probably made a lot of y'all nervous that had a lot that had a lot going on there, but extracurricular cares should I say? But I liked what I saw. Is there some things that can work on? Yes. One thing I liked was number 10, and I said it all offseason. I said it last fall. Elias Williams might have been the most underrated player in America because he was doing what Camden County needed him to do. This is a 6'7.5", 245-pound tight end. It's not Darnell Washington. Darnell Washington's 285, 290 pounds. This is an athletic dude. You know what I mean? And he's tough. And he played 2 years. He played 1 year at Charlton County. They played 2 years at Camden County in a wing T, and then they transitioned his senior year into kind of a spread. So he kind of, even though he was this unicorn, 6'7.5" tight end, he was tough. He played defense, and they really were just in a transition year trying to get him. I knew sooner or later number 10 was going to play, and he played a lot Saturday. I'm telling you, man, I am super excited to see what they do with him this week. To see what they can do with him this week, because number 10 is a problem. I don't care who you have on the other side of the field. One thing I'll tell you guys, as I sit in the press box and watched him, they didn't just bring him in for throwing. They got him. Look, you see him right there. That's 6'7.5", folks. That is a power forward running down the middle of the field with the ball. He was an AAU basketball player, and lucky for Georgia, he decided to focus only on football. But this guy is a problem, and I'm telling you, he can be a weapon for Georgia. I'm very interested. I thought it was ironic they introduced him this week in an SEC game. It's like, okay, Oscar Depp too. I know we're going to talk about tight ends. Oscar Depp, I told this story on another podcast. I've been watching Oscar Delp since high school. I didn't know he had that gear in him. I saw him after the game, and he's walking, he's walking off the field, and he's got one little AirPod in. I said, Delp. And he turned and looked. I said, I didn't know you had that gear, man. And he said, Mr. Manson, I've been saving that one. So that was good news too. I would imagine they're going to work these tight ends. I know some of you guys are asking questions about some of those things. And, I think they got to find a way to get the tight ends involved. They got to. But overall, very efficient win. I think Gunner knows now. I think Georgia knows now how teams are going to play him. They're going to sit in a zone, and they're going to make him make uncomfortable throws for him. He is going to have to trust his wide receivers, and I think he did that for the most part on Saturday. He's going to have to keep getting better. I'll touch on it now, and I'll say it again. A lot of you saw Ryan Pugliese a couple times. Some of you seen Ryan Pugliese for the first time this weekend. He's got an absolute rocket. I mean, this kid has got an absolute cannon strapped to his shoulder. It looks different coming out of his hand, and I've seen it for 2 years now. I'm telling you, he's pushing, getting himself ready to play. Now, right now, this is Gunnar Stockton's team. I'm not trying to say that, but I want to mention that Ryan Pugliese is, if something were to happen and Gunnar, is just not able to do it right now, Georgia, they can run the entire playbook, Ryan Pugliese. That's the best way for me to say it. They can run the entire playbook now with Ryan Pugliese if it came down to it and needed to. So that's good news. And I think after the portal, the spring portal, when they decided not to go after a quarterback, I knew at that point how they felt about Ryan Pugliese. And Ryan Montgomery, this is a kid coming off an ACL, a quarterback. They like him a lot, man. I mean, he's not pushing anybody for any playing time or anything, but I'm telling you right now, just tuck away Ryan Montgomery, because everybody I talked to in Athens is like, Rusty, this kid picked it up like this. I mean, he picked it up like this. I said, picked it up like Jake Fromm? Yes, picked it up like Jake Fromm. That's good news. So you're going to have all these quarterback battles, and we're going to talk about those things, but just because you don't hear mention of him, Ryan Montgomery has done nothing to hurt, the opinion of him in Athens. I'll never forget this. Probably should have told this in a story. San Antonio, I'm at the Army All-American game. I worked for 24/7 at the time. We owned the rights to that game. So I was on the field. I was on the bus. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'll never forget one day I'm sitting on the bus and Jake Fromm and Tua are sitting together. Isn't that ironic? They're sitting together. Tua wanted to play on the East team because a lot of kids from Alabama were there. He and Jake were going to be the two quarterbacks. And I remember the second day of practice, Tua asking Jake, hey, what's this? And Jake Fromm on the second day is sitting there spitting out plays and showing him, this is what we got here. This is what this is. And I remember Tua telling somebody, one of the wide receivers, like, go sit with that guy. You know what I mean? So it was ironic that those kids wind up playing against each other in the national championship. But, I'll never forget sitting there and even Tua going, how quick Jake Fromm was picking that up on the bus coming back from practice one day. But Ryan Montgomery, that's a guy, man. Ran the football. I like what, Chauncey Bowens is the story right now. And let me tell you this, too. Let me make all this real clear. The run game at Georgia if you think about it, Georgia had they got three guys from last year, am I right? Jared Wilson, Dylan Fairchild, and Tate Radledge that are starting. They got three guys that are starting in the NFL that were on this team last year. And then I think Truss made a team. So you got a fourth offensive lineman. I believe I saw that the other day. Regardless, he's going to be on somebody's squad, practice squad, whatever. So you basically had four NFL linemen, and they were just unable to run the football. And they just were. I told everybody in offseason, I don't know why they can't run the football. They couldn't. Obviously, it was pass heavy with Carson Beck, and that's another whole. That you do what you do there. But Georgia has been running the damn football, man, and it starts with 33. I'm telling you right now, man. He is. I love watching him, man. Look how thick he is, lower body. You can see he's yoked up right there. Look, I mean, this guy's put together now. And the way he sees it and how hard he runs, and he finishes off. They threw a screen to him or something out in the flat, and the guy hit him at 1 yard, and he pushed him 4 yards. I literally about jumped out of my damn seat in the press box. That is Little plays like that are so invaluable. When you get something out of nothing, instead of being second nine, it was second and five, guys. And so big with Chauncey Bowens, man. I'm telling you, the last 3 weeks, he had 15 carries for 70 yards. You know, he had to grind, still 4.7 last week. And if Chauncey Bowens, if Georgia can run the football this week against Auburn, they're going to win that game. I mean, that's just the way it is. So I'm just excited, man. I'm excited about 33. I like they went back to Nate pretty quickly early in the game. I thought Nate ran like he knows he needs to run, and you got to have ball security, and they got to have more than 33. There's no question about it. If they get 33 and three rolling, well, that's good news for Georgia, especially down the line. Josh McCray got in, did what he does, short yardage. So you know, a lot of people, but I can't talk about Georgia right now without mentioning the run game. Let's talk about defense. Nnamdi Aboko had a defensive line sack, and that's what I've been wanting to see. I know we got all these people. Let's bring some pressures and all that. I will say this: early in the game, Glenn Schumann calls a blitz, and Chris Cole comes free. Like, exactly how you dial it up. And he whiffed. He couldn't get him one-on-one. And that's all. It happens. But, damn, man, when you're one-on-one and you got one of your best athletes on the team, you got to get the guy to the ground. And that'll kill you. And he extended a play and got a first down. So, you know, you can't have those. Georgia's few and far between right now. Got to find ways to get some pressure. And be interested to see what they use this week. Two guys I want to talk about. Somebody used a pretty good term there, but I won't use that one. But Dominic Kelly is a young defensive back. He came to the University of Georgia. He was a reclass. He was 16 years old when he got to Georgia. Now he's 17, but he's playing. And he's playing some. Played some in the spring game, playing some now. And I'm telling you, he's a player, man. He's young. He got his butt absolutely welcomed to the SEC by Kirby Smart in a 35-7 game. And I mean, Kirby was on him like he just gave up the game winner. And that's tough love. But when you see Kirby doing that, he knows what this kid can do. Like, he's making sure that you cannot make that mistake. If I'm going to play you, you can't make that mistake again. But, man, sees the ball, plays the ball. I'm excited about him. DeMello Jones, for the second week in a row, guys, number 15, sign me up. He's young. He's going to make some mistakes, but I like what I see. This kid's 6'2", covered him high school out of Swainsboro. This guy, you know, I a year from now, I'm super excited. Ellis Robinson continues to get better. You're going – when a guy like that takes risk, you know, Ellis Robinson is going to try to get picks. You know what I mean? He's still learning too. I said this on another podcast. 2 years ago, DeMello Jones and Ellis Robinson aren't playing. Even though Georgia knows they're good players, they got upperclassmen, they're going to play them. You can't do that anymore. Like, it's time to go. Like, these guys, they've got to learn on the job. And that's basically what Georgia's done. I don't know all the situation with Daniel Harris, but I know Daniel Harris played kickoff and punt return Saturday. He didn't play corner that I saw. It looks like to me they're going with Dalen Everett, DeMello Jones, and Ellis Robinson mostly, and then you see Dom Kelly. Now, I'm not saying write Daniel Harris off, but right now he's to the side a little bit. So, you know, they may need him again. I mean, that's a kid that started a lot of games for Georgia, so you hope that he's in the right frame of mind and will be the next man up. But, man, I'll tell you, DeMello Jones, dude, I'd sign me up, man. Competes. He's long. I watched him a lot. And even the plays you don't see on TV, like, he's there. Like, he's in phase. I don't think he has a lot of bust. You're going to have some plays where you're gonna have some plays. Jake Rowe talked about it in an X and O, and they threw a screen out to him, and they double-teamed him out in space, and he took on both blocks. Just like he was setting it, he took on both Kentucky wide receivers. And yes, they blocked him, But all it did was eat up those two guys, and C.J. Allen and another defender come running down on that and kept it to about a three-yard gain where it could have been a lot more. So little plays like that is why DeMelo Jones on the field, tough, man, tough. Stick your freaking face up in there. And, you know, that's kind of where he is. So let's move on. Let's put a bow on Kentucky. Georgia 35-14. And I was very interested. I was extremely interested to see if Mark Stoops going to go for two right there. And you guys know what I mean. I told somebody on the side, I came down to the sideline at the end of the game, and I said, Mark Stoops is about to go for two right here, and the whole damn stadium is going to hold their breath. But he kicked the field goal, so saved a lot of you. Let's talk about Auburn, and I'm going to take some questions. Bubby, good to see you, my man. I know you're traveling up from New York, and so I'll check in with all you guys. Appreciate all the comments right here. We'll come right back to all the questions. We're going to get plenty of those, and no hurry tonight. Let's talk about Auburn, and I have took a little heat because I picked Auburn to beat Georgia on August the 1st. I picked this one as a loss for Georgia. I knew at that point this game was going to be at night. And sure enough, it's a night game. They're retiring Cam Newton's jersey. It's Jordan Hare. It is damn unhinged over there. I thought Jackson Arnold was going to be a little better. Now, I'm not – you know, when I saw them play Baylor – and what he did against Baylor, I was like, okay, that's what I thought. Like, Georgia's got their hands full. This guy can run the ball. This guy can throw it. Hasn't really worked out that way. Now, they did play two SEC games on the road, and they lost them, and it just didn't look good offensively. To be frank, and it worries you, they come off a bye week. Georgia, in my opinion, is about to get Auburn's best game. They are Auburn circling the wagons for this game. If they go 0-3 in the SEC, there's very little left. You know, you can play for a bowl game and all that, but you got zero chance of getting – you got a very slim chance of getting to anything, I would say, of value to me. SEC championship or outside playoffs, whatever. And you still got a hell of a schedule left. To me, this is the game. You're going to get their best effort. Cam Coleman scares the piss out of me. I have seen Cam Coleman in person. The first time I saw him, I was like, holy smokes, man. That dude, and he's good. Eric Singleton, he's got into Georgia twice, 180 yards in two games. He has given Georgia problems from Georgia Tech. Now, they use him a little bit different, but Eric Singleton, there's no question he's going to be confident against Georgia. And if I'm Auburn, I'm going to take some shots with Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton. Malcolm Simmons is not a bad player. Georgia has a better roster. Let me be clear on that. Georgia has a better roster. But there's also a reason why this is a fluctuating between a 2.5-point and 3.5-point spread. You know, Vegas thinks this is going to be close, and I do too. I think it's going to be another nail-biter. And the night game there gives me – you can't play from behind, guys. Georgia cannot play from behind there. You can't go down 21-7 at Auburn and win that football game. They're not going to win this game if they're down 21-7. That place just gets on you too much. I've been down there too many times, and they'll get rocking and rolling. And, you know, it's going to be important for Georgia to start. You know, let's think about this. I'm anticipating Monroe Freeland has a chance. Sunday night, I thought he had – Sunday after Sunday morning, I thought he had no chance of playing. No chance. But he's got a chance, and he's an athletic dude now. So you look at if he has a similar injury to Juan Gadsden, you're talking about a guy that's 365 as opposed to a guy that's 310, 305, a little bit less weight-bearing. Juan Gadsden's a better offensive lineman probably than Monroe Freeland. Monroe Freeland is a better athlete. So I know he's going to attack his rehab. His family is real big into yoga. Mom's a huge yoga instructor. Know them well, and he's doing everything he can to get back as fast as he can. He has a chance this weekend. Let me just anticipate he's unable to go. Let's just say for this show, you're looking at Bo Hughley playing left tackle. Let me tell you about Bo Hughley. Big Bo, you see Monroe right there. He's had a hell of a year, man. Monroe Freeland has. He has been great from left tackle. He has been everything that Georgia needed him to be. And you hope you get him back as quick as possible, and he's good to go. Bo Hughley has come in against Georgia And he saved their butt against Tennessee. He gave them 15 reps of everything he had. And they were passing downs. They had to pass. They were from behind. He did great. Comes in, plays against Bama. You know, struggles a little bit there. The run game is where you want to see the improvement of Bo Hughley. Being able to, the football nerd, being able to unlock your hips and push somebody out of the way to be able to come through, you know, a defensive end to be able to displace somebody. He's tough, man. He loves football. He's a damn dancing bear now. He's good in pass pro. He has been good in pass pro. I thought he was good Saturday when he had to. He's going to play the best player he's ever played by far Saturday night. And let me not sugarcoat that. Kendrick Faulk is a top 10, top 12 pick. He's 6'6". He's 285 pounds. He's an absolute damn animal coming off the end. Go have your hands full there. And whichever side he's on and what he does, it Auburn defensively starts with him. He's a freaking dude. He's a first rounder. From everybody I asked this week, I didn't realize he was 285. He's 6'6", though, and this is a guy that's already had a couple of sacks this year, all kind of pressures. And, you know, you look at somebody like Bo, who I would think is going to play left tackle, first ever start at left tackle on the road at Auburn. Yes, that worries the piss out of me, okay? But Bo has answered the bell. Bo has answered the call every time that Georgia says, get in there, we need you. So it'll be interesting there. Juan Gaston, I thought, had a few busts. These two guys, Juan Gaston and Donnie Glover, Dontrell Glover, it's crazy what those two guys are doing. We got two true freshmen playing in the SEC, and they're damn playing good football, guys. That is. I mean, you talking about – I don't know if Georgia looked at that in July and said, this is what we want. But by God, this is what we got. And those two kids earned it. And Dontrell Glover, man, I thought about it this weekend. Dontrell Glover was committed to Alabama for a while and ended up at Georgia. So that I think he was committed to Saban staff. And when Saban left, I think he decommitted and opened his thing up. Georgia got him out of Langston Hughes. You're talking about a big one, man, to get that guy. So, you know, you go into that game. You go into Auburn. It worries me at night. It worries me coming off a bye. Jake Rowe, talking to him earlier. Jake said the bye worried him more than Jordan Hare, and I can see some of that too. You know, but let me also say Georgia has the better roster. 1 through 85, Georgia has a better roster. If Georgia starts fast, if Georgia can run the football, they control this game. You know what I mean? They can control this game. Think that Gunner has to continue to take shots, trust his wide receivers, and just tuck away number 10. Tuck away Elias Williams this weekend. Be interested how much he plays. I think Lawson Lucky doesn't get enough credit for what he does blocking. Lawson Lucky hadn't got the touches. You know, he's been on some routes. I saw him in a lot of plays out in routes this past week in the route tree. Just ball didn't come to him. But, you know, Lawson Lucky doesn't get enough mention. Jaden Riddell starting to play more. Big blocking kid, too. So, want to get tight ends involved. But more importantly, guys, you want to leave that stadium with a win and get on to Ole Miss, because you're going to have your hands full. People asking me about Ole Miss and this and that. Listen, you need to have your focus on Saturday night at 7:30, because that place is going to be, they're going to be ready for Georgia. You guys know, you know about that rivalry. If you ever been to Jordan Hare, it is damn loud. It is damn, it's as good an environment I think I've ever been. Sometimes it is that 2017 game late in the second half. Boy, it was rocking. So hands full. I think Georgia, you look at a couple stats. Kobe Young, he's 15 catches, 247. He's averaging 13.7 a catch. He's got a touchdown. Zachariah Branch, 18 catches, 234. He's averaging 13 a catch. Think it's about time to get number one back more, a little more involved, get him a few more touches. Let's do this, guys. Let's open this thing up for some questions. I know everybody here's got some stuff. Appreciate you guys reaching in. Let my guy here. We'll reach out some questions here and let's spend some time, man, whatever you got, and we'll get on it. Rusty, do you think the tight ends could be the key to opening up our down the field passing game? Oscar Delp looked quick. So, yeah, I talked about that. He's got a different gear. You know, I don't know about the downfield, the intermediate stuff. You know what I mean? When it's third and seven and you run a stick route to Oscar Delp, he just goes to the chains and turn around. This guy's 6'5", 250, 260. You know, Lawson Lucky, 6'4 and a half. Elias Williams, 6'7 and a half. I don't necessarily have to have shot plays to my tight ends. Give me the crossing route. You know, Brock Bowers would hurt you on a crossing route, and his ass would just outrun you. Like it was and the 50-50 balls. But, you know, as a tight end, give me some intermediate stuff. Let's get the ball in their hands and see if we can move the chains and then take some shot plays. But I'm with you. Let's get the tight ends definitely going. Cash Jones to slot position, what do you think? I think they use Cash Jones in multi. So a lot of times you'll see Cash Jones in the backfield. He'll motion out. If he catches the ball in a flat, it's there. Here's the thing I don't think people give enough credit for. Cash Jones can pass block. He will stick his face up in there on a linebacker. So it's not a dead giveaway every time Cash Jones is in the game. I know why he plays. I know some people have mixed opinions on Cash Jones. Hell of a special teams player. He caught that ball out of slot the other day and rolled out on him across the field. He's got another gear. But Cash Jones will stick his freaking face up there. He's tough as hell. And to be able to pass pro, you know, that's why some of the younger backs don't play, because they don't trust you to freaking pass pro. I heard a scout one time talking about N'Kobe Dean. And N'Kobe Dean wasn't the most explosive player. But N'Kobe Dean would absolutely eat up a running back. N'Kobe Dean got so many sacks and straight blitz because backs couldn't handle him. He would get pressures. He's not a guy. He was a third, fourth rounder, whatever he was, because he wasn't super explosive. His football intelligence and being able to get to the ball helped him. But his blitz, he would run through a running back. Cass Jones is tough like that, protects that. What we got next here? I don't know that Sakovi White's going to get more. I think they're confident in him, but at some point, where is he? He comes in and gets his spots. I don't know where he gets more reps. Who do you take off the field? Sakovi's going to be a player next year. He's still going to make plays this year, and he's got some. Sakovi's not a burner. He's sudden. He's got a great change of direction, great ball skills, great kid. Not a burner. He's not. But, man, in and out of his breaks, change of direction, he's really what I call sudden for sure. And he's going to be a part of it. Who gets their first sack of the season Saturday night? Well, I don't know who gets their first sack. I want to get a couple of them. You know what I mean? And Aboko got a sack where he just beat the guy in front of him. You know, somebody today posted posted some Jalen Carter plays. The amount of plays that Jalen Carter just created havoc himself, I mean, it's invaluable. Like two other guys beside him are getting blocked. He just throws the guard down, and he either sacks a quarterback or ran him out, you know, got him off his spot. That's what I want to see. Can somebody beat somebody one-on-one? Yes, you can dial up a perfect blitz. Glenn Schumann dialed up an early perfect blitz. Chris Cole coming off the edge, and he missed him. You know what I mean? So sometimes I just want to just be simple. Beat the guy in front of you, and let's get an easy sack. It doesn't have to be manufactured, you know, stunts and ET stunts and all this stuff, double A gap. Just get off the block and man in front of you, and let's get him in second and 17 because Christian Miller beat the guard, and we got an easy sack. That's what I want to see. Message board saying our defense scheme has been figured out. Kirby, everyone knows what to do about executing with that. Oh, I mean, Georgia's been doing – you know what you're going to get out of Georgia. I think it's execution. I think it's sometimes a little stubborn, I would imagine. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see. And I'll say this again, I agree. Jake Rose said this, and I agree with him. Georgia got up 14-0, and I think they were really vanilla defensively. And you come out of this Alabama game in that Kentucky, different offense, different kind of deal there, obviously. You get up 14-0, and I know Kirby Smart's mentality sometimes is he's going to choke it down. let's stop them with what we can basic wise. And I don't think they showed a lot. Now you go into Auburn, you know, what new wrinkles are they going to show at you? Cause you're going to see new wrinkles out of Georgia. And I want to see what they do this weekend. But as far as figuring out Georgia, I don't know that you go into games, you kind of know what you're going to see. Sometimes they'll trick you and sometimes they won't, but you know what you're going to see out of Alabama. You know what you're going to see out of Georgia. You kind of know what you're going to see out of Ohio State. Is can you execute it and can those guys make plays? You're not going to – you might fool somebody early in the year, but after you have three or four game tapes, you kind of are who you are. Well, I don't know about early in the game, but, it's always great to get an early shot there and get him thinking a little bit, you know. And, you know, if you're able to get after the quarterback early and kind of create that, here we go again, the Auburn crowd, good way to suck the life out of that place early, because I'm telling you, it's going to be loud as you know what early. You obviously want to get as much pressure and getting hits on him. He's going to run the football. That's part of his game. And to be able to get a couple shots there or, you know, pressure him a little bit, whatever way, he has to be thinking in his head, you know, after the last two performances, especially the last one and the third downs, I think they're like 0-for-20 or something insane. They got to be thinking, you know, if you can get them kind of in that pattern again, create some doubt there, because they're coming off a bye, probably think they got everything figured out, probably anticipating what they think they're going to see from Georgia. And you just don't want to get – you don't want to get Jackson Arnold hot, man. You don't want to give him a ton of confidence. And next thing you know, he's had one of those Baylor-type games because he hadn't had it in the last couple of weeks. Yeah, Trey Scott's a hell of a D-line coach. He's a hell of a D-line coach. He is well-paid because he's had people come after him. He's had NFL come after him. Just because you don't see Trey Scott news out there about people doing this and people doing that, let me be clear with you that a lot of people have come after Trey Scott, and Kirby Smart has paid him. He likes it in Athens. He's done a good job. He's a hell of a coach. His resume speaks for itself. And, you know, there's been a couple times where I thought, you know what, this might be it for Trey Scott. But he has stayed at Georgia, and he's a hell of a coach. Hell of a coach. I do. Do you think we see more Justin Williams? I do. I do. And I don't know how many more reps, but I know in the past game, I like what I see. He is, I think he and CJ Allen were both, make sure I look at that. He and CJ Allen both were leading tacklers last week. Yeah. He had 6 tackles, 4 solo. He had a tackle for a loss. CJ Allen had 6 tackles, 3 solos, a sack, and 2 tackles for a loss. So out of those two guys, you had 12 tackles and 7 solos combined. So they rotate those guys in a little bit. But, you know, Justin Williams is a guy that's going to be an important piece to Georgia. And I don't know how much more we're going to see of him, but we're not going to see less. I'm confident in that. No, he's Dwight Phillips. He's good. He's in behind some. I think the emergence of Chauncey Bowens has cut into a lot of people's reps. And also Josh McCrary has come in. Josh McCrary's come in and kind of been that hammer. And Georgia plays him a couple times, you know. I don't think Bobo kind of sugarcoats it when he comes in. He puts Peanut in the I formation and they toss sweep it to him and he gets his yards. But be interested to see if they use him a little different way, what kind of package they got for him, because obviously they know how fast he is and what he does. But right now, I think the emergence of Chauncey Bowens has cut everybody's reps because he's getting the touches and he deserves to be. Yeah, they're going to chip block. There's no question they're going to chip block Falk. Hell yes. Yes. You know, you can't do that every play. You know what I mean? You can't do it. Sometimes you're going to have to drop back and you're going to say, Bo, you got him. But yeah, they're going to chip him as much as possible. I would be shocked if they didn't. In fact, if you're watching the game, there'll be a lot of times they'll line up in a formation and then they'll flip-flop. They'll pre-snap shift the tight end over there. I mean, you just have to. This guy's a damn animal, man. Hey, there's no sugarcoating fault. He is a damn nightmare. He's a guy that you better account for. But there is going to be snaps in this game where he's going to be one-on-one with Bo Hughley. And I'll say this again. So far, Bo Hughley has answered the damn bell. And listen, he ain't scared. I mean, Bo Hughley's not scared. This is a Langston Hughes guy. I mean, it's just sometimes that, you know, you have to see the speed of somebody like that to understand that there's a reason why that guy's about to make $20 million, because he and Cam Coleman are the two best players on Auburn's team. If you tell me Georgia can have two players, by God, I'm taking Cam Coleman and I'm taking Kedrick Faulk right now. Give them both to me. Yeah, I think Horton has played well. The transfer from Miami, I think he's played well. I think, and Langston Hughes kid, you know, he's played well. He's had to, and I don't think he's done anything to hurt his reps, especially inside. Create a few pressures and holding up there against the block, and I think he's internally in that building. I think he's been a pleasant surprise in his reps. I don't think he had the best fall camp. And I think he has played better when the lights are on. That's okay. You know, I'm sure Kirby's trying to get the practice mentality and trying to get him to do. But I can tell you, from what I know, he's done nothing to hurt himself there in the reps he's had. Don't know. Why has Elo Madozzi not been that effective? You know, I looked at him a couple of reps. You know, one time he got – I mean, one time, and I'm just being honest with you, they ran a play to outside zone of him. He got absolutely the tackle from Kentucky just mauled it, just walled him off. And it happens in football, okay? It happens, but can't lose contain like that. And I just wonder right now, is he trying to adjust to the physicality of this league and the size of these humans he's playing? Because I do think he's got some good get off and pass rush, but as far as run game right now, maybe my gut is he's struggling a little bit in run game, and that's why you're seeing a lot of Chris Jones, number 28. Chris Jones is a little bit bigger guy. I think Chris Jones is good against the run. You're seeing him play a little bit more than Madozzi right now. Not giving up on Madozzi, but he's adjusting now. When you start looking at these dudes in this league, it's a little different than where he came from. So he's got time. He's not a senior. He's got time at Georgia to continue to get better. Do you think the bye will help you, Jib? Because no, because you practice against SEC speed. You know, it's these kids have played so much. I don't think really the bye gives you recovery time. The bye gives you time to work on your team, to get yourself better, what you've been error-wise, and it also gives you time to install things that you haven't installed. So Georgia's going to have to survive. The first series, if you guys want to make a note, the first series is going to be really important to me defensively, because Auburn's had 2 weeks to script those plays. And if I'm Hugh Freeze, I'm going to show Georgia some things that I haven't showed so far. So, you know, Hugh Freeze is definitely – Georgia's faced him enough. Kirby Smart and Glenn Schumann have faced him enough times. They know what to expect. But if you want to put some wrinkles in and some things, that first series is where you want to watch, and those scripted plays, how Georgia reacts to that and how Georgia's able to what they're able to do with Auburn offensively, because they'll be ready – I would imagine Auburn's got 10 or 12 plays they feel good about, and they'll try those things out probably early on and see how Georgia lines up and see if Georgia can react to that. Yes, I think Georgia's going to go after offensive linemen in the portal. I do. I don't know how many. I don't know how this portal's going to shake out. I mean, let's be honest, guys. You know, if nothing changes, you got two true freshmen that just went in front of about – four or five guys. Dontrell Glover and Juan Gaston are starting in front of other guys. So the way of the world, some of those guys are going to leave behind them. The odds are they are. I'm not saying all of them, but the odds are you're going to lose some guys that they probably had a chance to play, but they just got beat out by two true freshmen. And that's just the way it is. So I do think Georgia is going to look in the portal. You know, there'll be a lot of questions. One of the questions is going to be with Monroe Freeland. You know, does Monroe Freeland come back? Because I'm telling you, Monroe Freeland was having a great year. And, you know, what kind of decisions does he make? Does he try to go to the NFL? Does he try to come back another year? That's a big position at left tackle. So I do think there's a lot of questions there, but Georgia will certainly look at offensive linemen if they think – hell, everybody in the country is going to look at offensive linemen. There's just not enough. There's not enough, especially tackles. I had a school this morning on a text message tell me that a I had a guy tell me this morning an elite offensive tackle next year is going to cost $1.8 million a year. So, yeah, that's kind of where it is. I got a question. I have a question about the red zone. Jake, you say that one? Scott Anderson asked, well, going to return next season, you think? Don't know. Don't really know how that's going to play out, how the quarterback stuff's going to play out. Don't know there how all this stuff's going to play out. That's a lot of questions. I get people ask me if Puglisi's going to stay with Jared Curtis coming in. And the thought process and what I've learned over the years, the guys on campus don't really worry about the guys behind them. You know what I mean? You're 2 years ahead of him, 3 years ahead of him. You should be ready to go. Why don't Georgia use play action more inside the red zone and goal-to-goal plays? Georgia is, 71%. I think Jake said that today. Georgia's 71% touchdown in the red zone, which is damn good. Damn good. You know, can they change some plays up? Yeah, but they're pretty damn good offensively. Red zone offense and running the football has been big-time improvements for Georgia. Running the football, man, has been great. It's been great. Been great there. So, yeah, they can improve some things. I would like to see a few more, you know, balls to Kobe Young out there maybe, and maybe Noah Thomas there. I know y'all ask about Noah Thomas. So, I agree, guys. I'm ready to see Noah Thomas, and just right now is just not getting enough. He's in the game. He's just not getting the targets. Noah Thomas is in the game. You'll watch number five is in there. He's just not getting the targets right now for whatever reason. Elite quarterback with mediocre O-line versus quarterback with elite line. What would you rather have? Elite quarterback with mediocre O-line, good quarterback with elite. I would take a good quarterback with elite O-line. It's just so much, so much. And this is no dig because I'm telling you right now, Carson Beck's a freaking dude. But Miami's got the best offensive line in the country, and they're rolling because of it. They got two freaking tackles that are top 10 picks. And somebody said today that Miami looks like one of the Kirby Smart 21-22 Georgia teams. I don't know. I'd have an argument with that, especially offensive line-wise. Those two tackles they got are both top 10, top 12 picks. They'll both be gone next year, so they're getting what they can out of those guys. But you give me an elite offensive line, and we can roll. We can roll because you can run the football, and it gives a good quarterback time to process post-snap. Let's go about five more minutes, guys. We're having a good time tonight. Let's say this, too, while we're here. I want to give a shout-out again to Hotel Indigo. We will be there the night before Ole Miss. It's going to be a big crowd. I've already had people texting me today saying they're going to be there. And it's awesome, guys. We'll be there doing a live show. We're you know, me and Jake, we're in the lobby. All those guys are there. You would be shocked at the amount of people that are there that really know what the hell is going on. Me and Jake Rowe, I feel like I'm pretty damn connected to the Georgia program. Me and Jake Rowe heard some of the, I would say, best behind-the-scenes stories that I've heard in the last 10 years about Georgia and some of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. There was a lot of people there that knew what the hell they were talking about Georgia. And we're just in the lobby. We're talking to people. And then you meet people. So, guys, come by Hotel Indigo next week. And, again, if you need tickets, Ole Miss, they do have those. Jake Rowe will put his email up. You can contact them. They still have some lower-level tickets for Ole Miss. Now it's a 3:30 game. You know what you can do, travel. But they do have tickets. They did, but they don't have rooms. So, you can come by. You can come by and see us. Hang out in the lobby. We'll be on the patio. It's freaking awesome, man. You'll love it. So, appreciate Hotel Indigo, Barry, and Rick, and Tom. And you guys, hope you're enjoying those cigars tonight. And I hope those are victory cigars. And save a couple for the next two weekends. So, what else we got here? Any extra Jay Lamar details? No, I posted, on Dogs HQ my thoughts on that. And don't really want to get into too much on that. But was not, you know, it's unfortunate young man's not playing at Colquitt County because that's a great program. That's a hell of a football coach. And, you know, just heard bits and pieces. And we'll see how it plays out. Right now, I haven't heard anything as of tonight. I haven't heard anything that tells me that he's not going to end up at the University of Georgia based off this. But I can assure you that before he ever steps foot in Athens, he will sit in the office of Kirby Smart, and they will be very clear on what is expected at the University of Georgia. And listen, man, a young kid, just heated things, and you know, you don't give up on kids, but sometimes high schools have to make a decision to move on. And if he ends up in Athens, I'm sure that he's going to look Kirby Smart in the eye, and everybody's going to be on the same page. But he is a freaking talented running back, and you know, if they can get him into Athens and everything works out, he's going to help Georgia quickly. Rusty, have you talked to Nick Abram since his visit to Michigan? Seems parents are pushing him there. I haven't heard that. Yeah, you should be worried. I mean, I don't know about worried. They're recruiting him aggressively, and he's a great football player. Glenn Schumann went to Michigan on that bye week before Alabama to see him. You know, everything I've heard, Georgia's okay so far there. You know, it's you don't get those easy. I don't know how to say it. You don't get those easy, and But you know, Glenn Schumann's won his fair share of battles. You know what I mean? When Glenn Schumann is completely locked in, kind of like your odds. Now, doesn't mean that Michigan can't, because they're not playing around either. They're on him hard. But you know, I feel like right now that Georgia's still strong enough to hold that off. Well, you know, my thoughts on the safety spot besides KJ, they've kind of, you know, went. You know what's interesting? Adrian Maddox, number 14, got some play. That's the kid from UAB, the other transfer. And I hadn't heard a lot about him. He got some burn this past week against Kentucky, and late in the third, early in the fourth. You know, this is a kid that started last year at UAB. He started. And interested in, is that something they just want to get him some reps, or did he earn some more there? Kyron Jones there, Corey Thomas. You know, to me, it seems like they're just splitting reps between Kyron Jones and Ja'Cory Tucker. Kyron Jones will hit you. He's physical. He struggles a little bit in the pass game. That's where he struggles a little bit. But physical, he will come down the lane. He will hit you. He'll come down the alley and hit you. Ja'Cory, probably a little bit more better, I would say, in coverage. But, you know, it is what it is. They're trying to make the best out of that there. Let's get three more here. We got them. I don't know that. Well, I don't want to put. Is anyone else think Kobe Young looks like Terrell Owens? Terrell Owens could fly. Kobe Young is a damn good football player. I don't know when I want to put him on an NFL Hall of Famer, but Kobe Young can play football, man. He's everybody I talk to there says just can't like a kid much more than what they like and what they've seen out of him this year. And you know, I think playing it, you know, he's going to play in the NFL if nothing else changes. Like he's got a lot of talent there. And, you know, I think that he's helped himself this year, obviously getting a second chance playing football, going through a legal procedure. And he was cleared to play football at the University of Georgia, and good to have him back. Do you think Georgia needs to throw more 50-50 balls? I don't think you have to force it, but I would like to see some of those back shoulder throws to Kobe, like they used to do Javon Wims and some of these guys. I think Kobe would be good there. And, you know, I would like to see a couple of chances with that. The damn ball he threw to Dylan Bell, and the catch Dylan Bell made this weekend, my goodness, what a play. And what I liked about that, he was covered. Gunner Steele turned it loose. And Dylan Bell helped him out. So, guys, looks like we're going to wrap it up here. One last question. Any updates on Chase Calicutt? I haven't had an update on that. You know, I don't have an answer either way other than he has an entire team around him that's representing him, that particular team. Now, that side of it feels like that this is going to be handled for what they feel like. I have no idea, but I did talk with someone on that side, and they think that, you know, he has a lot of people around him that are representing him that they feel confident. So we will see. But Listen, guys, I want to say thank y'all. This is awesome. I love doing this every week, Dog Talk Live. I appreciate y'all checking in. Let me know where y'all from. Again, Hotel Indigo, we will be there the night before Ole Miss. You guys go by there, hotelindigo.com, visit Hotel Indigo in Athens, and look, see that, man? That place is awesome. Just go by there. I didn't realize it's 16 years old. Place looks brand freaking new, man. Come by, see us next week. I'll be back next Tuesday. We will recap Auburn, and we will break down what very well likely could be a top three, four, five team, Ole Miss, coming to Athens next week, undefeated. They're going to beat Washington State. They're going to have plenty of rest. They're on a bye week this week. They're not preparing for Washington State, I can assure you. They are digging in on Georgia. So Georgia's going to face another team that had 2 weeks to prepare for them, and they're going to play an early Saturday morning game. So they'll have some stuff working in their favor. But we'll deal with that when we get to it. Guys, thank y'all so much. I appreciate everybody being here, man. I appreciate all the feedback. Been loving doing this. We're going to continue to do it. And thank you guys for Hotel Indigo for making this possible. But for this show, that's going to wrap it up. Dog Talk Live with Rusty Mansell. We'll see y'all next week.